We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From inside Camp Randall Stadium, Learfield IMG College presents Behind the Badgers, an exclusive look inside Wisconsin athletics.
Trice, baseline right, looking and looking, throws it to Davison, right corner three, got it! Davison hits a three, 9.1 to play as the Badgers take a 2-point lead as Brad Davison goes ice cold blooded.
I still get goosebumps listening to it. Matt LePay could... He could read the phone book, and if he does it in his announcer voice, it gets me going.
There's no better way to relive something that's got you feeling good than to hear Matt LePay narrate it, that's for sure.
We're still riding high from Wisconsin's win over Maryland. We're recording this on Wednesday morning in the same building where Wisconsin just beat Maryland in the thriller, and we're going to have on the guy who had the late-game heroics, Brad Davison. He is over it. He's not riding high anymore. He's looking ahead to Michigan State, but we went back and relived the final moments with him, had us walk it through it, and talked about the trip upcoming to Michigan State, a place Wisconsin hasn't won in a while. Got his pulse on his favorite places to play in the Big Ten and what his feelings are about being labeled a villain sometimes when Wisconsin goes on the road. So check out Brad Davison coming up in a bit. Thanks for checking out Behind the Badgers. I'm Patrick Herb. Brian Mason is with me. We appreciate all of you listeners and appreciate any feedback you can contribute to us. We're going to ask a social share, polling the audience later in the broadcast, and we want to get your feedback. We want to read some of the fun answers on. So get a hold of us on our email address if you want, behindthebadgers@gmail.com, or on Twitter, behindbadgers is the handle. Instagram is @behindthebadgers as well. So a lot of ways to reach out to us. We love hearing from listeners. And honestly, we want to know what you want on this podcast. If there are individuals in this Wisconsin athletics that you want to hear from, that's the avenue we can provide. And we want to know guest suggestions. So Mason, let's get into what's trending. Basketball is not only in season and taking up all of our attention right now, but it's doing so in a fun way. Last night's thriller, 1-point, 2-point win over Maryland at the Kohl Center was not a work of art, but a thrilling outcome. And why one of the reasons I love college basketball, finishes like that are awesome.
Yeah, the Badgers have our attention because they've grabbed it over the last few weeks. They've won 6 of 7, and none of them more exciting than that game last night where you went in the span of just a few seconds from thinking, okay, this thing's going off the rails, to, oh my gosh, they've just pulled this thing off. It was a roller coaster of emotion over the last few seconds.
Yeah, Wisconsin had a disaster of an offensive possession after getting a big defensive stop, and then the same player who was the focal point of the disaster possession, Brad Davison, the ball was in his hands when they got a shot clock violation and couldn't get a shot off with 12 seconds left, down 1 point, and you're thinking, what in the world? And the Kohl Center is fans are in consternation. And then Brad makes one of the most remarkable defensive plays that I've witnessed live in stealing the inbounds pass and then smacking it off Daryl Morcell's leg while he's standing out of bounds. The awareness it takes to make that play is
unreal. The reaction time was wild to me. Just to be able to do that on the fly and just to be aware of the situation enough to realize that he's still standing out of bounds, he hasn't stepped over the line, and to tip it off him, that was crazy.
It reminded me of the Michael Flowers play that is famous in Wisconsin basketball lore, where Wisconsin won at Texas. Yep. Flowers hits the big three to take the lead with 2-3 seconds left or whatever, then steals the inbounds pass and throws it high up in the air so that the clock expires yep. while the ball is coming back down. Again, a play where you make a big play and then make another play right afterwards that seals the game and have just an instinct play of basketball IQ. So here Brad does it on the defensive end, then comes and hits. He just did his in reverse. Then he comes and hits the three, and it had to be him, right? He makes that play. It had to be him.
Yeah, and we talk so much in sports about resilience and what that can do for you, and there's no better example of what he did because of the timetable in which it all came together. It was not Brad's fault all-encompassing that possession went awry. I mean, we talked to him about how Maryland defended it and how the options dried up, but he's the guy with the ball in his hands, couldn't get a shot off, and the Badgers waste a golden opportunity offensively, and then the presence of mind to file that away and be right in the moment to make the defensive play and then be ready when your number's called offensively to hit a shot when you had to hit it. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Do they win that game back in November or December, or even early December?
I don't know. I mean, we've seen this team grow so much.
Probably not.
But the one thing I would say is that in the favor of maybe is that Brad Davison's the same guy. We've seen that for 3 years. He is a mentally tough,
right. He wants the ball in his hand, player. Even if he's 1 for 5 from threes at that point in the game or something.
Yeah, so I mean,
not a great shooting night. So but he still wants it.
A late game situation that comes down to Brad Davison, you feel pretty good about what he's going to be able to do. But as a team, for Wisconsin to be able to withstand what Maryland threw at him in the second half, I don't know if the November team we saw could do that. But the January team certainly was able to.
Yeah. All the games Wisconsin lost, all five of them in the non-conference early portion of the season, were close games with 3, 4, 5 minutes to go. And Wisconsin was unable to close a lot of those. And so that's part of the evolution of this team, I think. And one of the plays the Brad Davison sequence gets all the attention and deservedly so for a lot of it. But the Nate Reavers defensive play to get Wisconsin the ball for the possession that ended up failing was a big play, and where he tips the lob pass to Jalen Smith that we'd seen them
the
dunk
lob pass that yeah. Maryland had been killing the Badgers
right, dunking on the Badgers yeah. 3-4 times in the game. He tips that pass so that Wisconsin gets the steal and can then set up the late game heroics that probably gets overlooked, but it raises up the bigger conversation of the Nate Reavers, Micah Potter playing time and sure. how the balance and how those two, how Coach Gard and the coaching staff is handling those two players who play arguably the same position or at least similar, because that's been a big focal point. And because it was a big conversation point the last 7 games now that Potter's been eligible, like how do you handle him? And then certainly was after this game, and most notably because Potter wasn't in the game late.
And the spark that he's provided offensively is obvious. Everybody can see that.
Right.
What he did against Penn State and the way he was able to contribute offensively, and then against Maryland, he played 13 minutes and scored 14 points. I mean, that's
right.
That's some pretty efficient work on the offensive end. But where you got to try to figure things out is, you know, is every scenario right for him to be on the floor? And extrapolating out and assuming that because, you know, he was able to provide that spark off the bench, and because he could put together 14 points in 13 minutes, well, if you double his minutes, is he going to double his production offensively? I don't know that that's sustainable. You know, trying to predict the future off what he's been able to do, you assume he's going to
regress
slow
to
down
the mean
a little.
Yeah,
regress
so, yeah.
a little bit at some point. I mean, he's hit 7 of his last 11 from 3.
Right.
And coming into that 4-game stretch, he was over 3 on the year from 3. So,
and in his 2 years at Ohio State, he was a career 35% three-point shooter maybe. So he may have gotten better at shooting, sure. But I think your point's valid. The other thing that I think is relevant to bring up here, and this is – I don't want to come off as PR guy for the team. So we're employed by the team. So my instinct is to defend the team and the coaching staff. And so a little bit of that, a little bit of what I'm going to say is in defense of that, but I also feel like it's a little more of an explanation, what I want to explain about what the coaching staff or what I think the team's rationale is for how they're handling the two of them, Reavers and Potter, and the playing time mix. And so far they're 6-1. So they're doing something right, first of all.
And you could argue that Potter's been a big part of that.
Yep, and Potter's been very productive. And Reavers has too. Reavers played really well last night. 17 points, led the team, had some big buckets late in the game. But Wisconsin philosophically, for 20 years now, actually more than that, going back to Dick Bennett, has predicated like philosophically their team based on defense. And they will 10 times out of 10 decide their lineup based on defensive matchups and winning that end of the floor. And then they'll figure out how that they can maximize that lineup offensively. And so I think in that game against Maryland, they looked at what their best lineup was going to be defensively down the stretch. And Coach Gard said as much, that he wanted his best defensive lineup to get stops. And so you can disagree with that philosophically. You can argue that, well, that's, I don't want to watch that style, or you got to score more points than they do, or it's frustrating when you're not getting, you know, you're not scoring and you just see them scoring. But for 20-some years, Wisconsin has had that philosophy. So, one, it's been a very successful philosophy. Very. They've won at an alarmingly high rate under Bo and Greg Gard. The second thing is this program is built that way. The team is built that way. So you can't abandon what you the way you've decided to structure your team and your philosophy when the heat is on or when you have a cold stretch offensively. They're going to stick to what's won at a 70% clip in Big Ten play for the last 20 years. They're going to stick to that. And sometimes it's not going to work. Every once in a while you're going to lose and because you can't score enough points. But they won the game yesterday. And so that's how they're going to base that. So if they felt like you can't play Potter and Reavers at the same time for defensive purposes, that Potter would have to play the five and Reavers the four, and you're getting into matchups that are not the way Wisconsin wants to be, then that's going to dictate their decisions more than the offensive end.
That's what I think about is the matchups. All of this in basketball especially, has to be matchup-based. So the assumption that, well, Potter's been great offensively and Reavers has been great offensively, well, they're good on their own. Putting them together, wouldn't that be great? I don't know that that's the case.
So specifics in this game, if Potter and Reavers are in the game together, Potter's playing the five and Reavers is guarding the four. So Reavers is out on the perimeter because Potter's probably not going to guard a perimeter four who can stretch and put it on the dribble. So that means he's guarding Jalen Smith in the post. And Jalen Smith was doing, they were doing high ball screens,
for Cowan
over and over and over again. So you're putting Micah Potter in a position where he's guarding Smith on a high ball screen. So he's got Cowan coming downhill full speed at him that he's got to try and defend one of the quickest guards in the league and one of the more talented bigs to be able to help and recover. And we have to remember that he's played seven games at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's defensive rules are different than they were at Ohio State. They're different than what you played in high school. Wisconsin has a lot of defensive rules that come from repetition and from learning and from being in the situation and getting live game reps. And so it's not an indictment to say Micah Potter's not as good defensively as Nate Reavers. He's been playing it for 3 years, and Gard has been saying for 3 years how good he is at reading that and picking that up.
And again, it goes back to matchups. It goes back to situations. It goes back to tailoring what you're doing to opponents. You look at last night, there was a six-minute stretch in the second half. And I'm not pinning this on Micah Potter, but he was on the floor, and that was when the ball screen was really killing Wisconsin. You had Cowan and Smith combined for 14 points in that six-minute stretch, and Wisconsin went from having a three-point lead to being in a four-point hole.
Right.
I mean, you could see it play out, that something had to change defensively for Wisconsin.
So I think people wonder, will they ever play them? And I do think there is a situation in a game where Reavers and Potter play at the same time. And in talking to the coaching staff, Penn State might have been a game where they did that because Reavers might guard Lamar Stevens and Watkins would be guarded by Potter in the post.
But what happened was
Nate couldn't stay on the floor. Yeah. He got in foul trouble, so you couldn't play them both at the same time. So It's interesting to see. I think Illinois might have been another one, but the opposite. Bishanishvili and Coburn kept getting in foul trouble, so they never played at the same time. So we haven't seen it yet, but I don't think it means we're not going to see it at some point during the season, especially as Potter continues to get more and more comfortable.
And don't be confused. I for one, am excited to see them on the floor at the same time.
Sure.
I think it'd be a lot of fun, but I just don't like the assumption that things will automatically go well because you play those two at the same time. I don't think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah, so we've belabored it, but I think it was a lot of people, it was one of the big takeaways of last night's game that Wisconsin won, but what happened down the stretch? And so again, you could disagree with the decisions, and that's fine. That's people are entitled to their opinion. But I think that I do hope people understand that there are reasons why, and it wasn't that coach is being stubborn or he forgot about him.
I'd say at this point in the season, if this is a problem you're dealing with about how to balance Micah Potter and Nate Reavers, and I'm not saying that the coaches view it as a problem, but there's a perception that there's an issue there. That's a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah, the good news is those guys combined for 31 points against a ranked team. That's a heck of a 1-2 punch. Let's move on to trending topic number two. What's ahead for Wisconsin basketball? So we just look back. We spent too much time talking about that game. Now Wisconsin goes on the road at Michigan State on Friday, a place that I've been with this program for. This is my 12th season with the program. I haven't seen us win there. We haven't won there since Devin Harris was the point guard for the basketball team 2004. Very memorable game. The game where they had the Big Ten championship banner hanging in the rafters. Wisconsin goes in there, beats them. They end up not winning the Big Ten championship. Have to take that banner down later. One of the great moments in Wisconsin basketball history, that one. But that's how long ago it has been. So you got that going against you.
Then you have recent events going against you in terms of Michigan State. I mean, what happened to them against Purdue or at Purdue on Sunday? They got blown out.
Right.
And they haven't played since then. So they've got, 5 days worth of practice to
be salty.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo's going
to put the crosshairs on the Badgers.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to beat them up. And they're going to come out with their hair on fire on Friday, which they often do at home. So Wisconsin's got to kind of weather that early storm and get them doubting themselves the way Michigan State was doubting themselves probably in that Purdue game when they couldn't score and they couldn't stop Purdue. And Purdue ran them out of the building. And that was a shocking outcome for the league that we shouldn't be shocked by any outcome because this league is crazy.
I'm just amazed, though, at the history with Breslin, because I know there was the long stretch where Wisconsin couldn't win at Purdue, but those were some Wisconsin teams that weren't great during that stretch. There have been some really good Badger teams that have gone into East Lansing.
So we didn't go to Michigan State the 2015 season. The year Wisconsin went to the national championship game, we didn't go to Michigan State. So that would have been a year that you think of all years, that one we might have won. Schedule didn't go there. Didn't play there last year. So it hasn't been, it has, how many years since 04? It hasn't been 15 losses in a row. Right.
But it's been quite a few.
But it has been 15 years. So Wisconsin goes in there. Not only is it hard to win there, but Michigan State's a good team. So you got to do that. They're ranked number 15 in the country. Wisconsin playing their fourth ranked opponent in the last 5 games. So this is a gauntlet of a stretch for the Badgers. But so far, they've ripped off 3 ranked wins in a row, and they're going for their fourth win in a row against a ranked team. Brian, when do you think the last time Wisconsin won 4 games in a row against ranked teams in the regular season?
My mind would instantly go to that, one of those Final Four teams. Probably the 15 team, which had a much better regular season than the 14 team.
Right. They didn't even play enough ranked teams in the regular season to even have that. That if you go back and look at that schedule, Wisconsin's a great team. Like, I'm not diminishing it.
Improve that. Yeah.
But they did not face many ranked teams that season, like a surprisingly few in that one. So, no, that wasn't it. They did beat 4 in a row, but it came one regular season game and 3 games in the NCAA tournament, and they beat North Carolina, Arizona, and, of course, Kentucky.
Okay, so I'm getting the feeling this is going to be a season I'm not going to come up with off the top of my head. So what do you got?
1998-99.
Whoa.
It was the last time.
Okay.
Yeah, that year they actually won 5 in a row against ranked teams. So it's been a long time since they've done what they're going to try to do Friday. But it's not unprecedented. That 98-99 team didn't blow the doors off of every team that season.
That's not a team you would think of.
That's the inspiration that this team, they can go do it. That's my
and they've had success on the road this year. This team has had success on the road as much as anybody in conference play
lately.
in the Big Ten. Right, lately.
Oh, yeah, sure.
In the league. Because the value of winning on the road in this league right now is enormous. I mean, I've got the standings printed out in front of me, and it is a jumbled mess.
I think it's bananas that there are five road wins in the league play so far out of like 35 games or something like that.
The Badgers have two?
And the Badgers have two of them now. Wow. From a team that lost its first 5 games away from home, like the contrast is startling of how they've been able to kind of turn that around and go on the, not just go on the road and beat good teams. Two ranked wins and at Tennessee, who is a top 70 in the net rankings.
And here's where you're at now, that if you could do that again on Friday and beat Michigan State, you'd be 5-2. You'd be tied atop the league at 5-2 with Michigan State, the preseason number one team in the country.
Yeah, in the locker room after the game, I was in there with the guys, and I heard Brad Davison say that. He's like, guys, like they were jumping up and down and excited, and then they got settled back into their chairs before the coaching staff came in to talk to them. That's how it happens every game. And they usually, there's chit-chat, but after a game, they're all buzzing, and, you know, they're feeling good and everything. And Brad says, guys, big opportunity Friday. We're playing for first place. Like, that was he recognizes it. He definitely, like, they have the standings posted in the locker room. They have a board that the managers update after each night that have the records on this. So they know it. They see it. They see the standings. But that was, his mind shifted there quickly, that we're going to East Lansing to play for first place.
I mean, I'm fascinated to see, especially, of course, how Wisconsin fares down the stretch of the Big Ten season, but how the standings are going to shake out. Like, I don't have a good grasp on who's got an upper hand in the league. I mean, I saw the KenPom projecting Michigan State to win the conference at 14-6, Wisconsin and Maryland to tie for second at 12-8. I mean, if you have a six-loss conference champion.
It's never happened. There's never the Big Ten has never been won by a team with more than five losses. So,
wow.
So it's not going to happen again. No, I would be surprised if Michigan State loses six games. I'll say that.
They've already lost one.
They've lost one, and then chalk up another one on Friday.
Chalk up another one on Friday.
The thing I love about the Big Ten this season is every night I look at who's going to play tonight, and I'm like, oh, that's a good game. Oh, that's a good one. And
you have no idea what the outcome's going
to
be.
If I were trying to bet on games, I'd be terrible. Well, I wouldn't. I'd take the home team every time because the home team wins every time. But trying to predict. So tonight, Indiana plays at Rutgers. Penn State plays at Minnesota. I don't know who's going to win those games. No. I don't know. But I'm going to watch them, and it's fun to watch them. But let's talk about Wisconsin and where they've put themselves right now. It's January 15th. There's so much left to play. But they've put themselves in a really, really admirable spot here so far in the national picture.
Yeah, you're looking at the net rankings. Sitting 23rd. KenPom got them at number 22. I mean, they've stacked up. What is it? Four quad one wins already. They're 4-3 against quad one teams. I mean, that's you're building a resume in a league that is where we've just talked about every night is a grab bag. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. You have already started to stack up a resume that is going to be what you need looking toward March.
And so to remind people what the quad one win means. So the net rankings is the rankings that replace the RPI that the committee that selects the NCAA field uses as one of their metrics, not the end all be all, but one of three, four, five that they use. And it's a sorting tool. And then it's a tool to evaluate wins. So you get more credit for beating a team on the road. You get more credit for a neutral one than you would at home. For example, it's kind of a sliding scale there. So Wisconsin has four quad one wins, which is the best. There's four quadrants, 1, 2, 3, 4. Quad one's the best. They have four. All of them have come after Christmas. They had zero quad one wins going into Christmas. Now, in the 2 weeks, 3 weeks that have happened since then, they've ripped off four of them. They won at Tennessee, quad one. At Ohio State, quad one. At Penn State, quad one. Last night, Maryland, quad one. So they have flipped the script entirely and done yeoman's work boosting their resume here in the last couple weeks.
I'd be interested to see if you took the preseason rankings out of it and reset like the AP poll right now. Based on what has happened in the last X number of weeks,
yeah,
I'd be interested to see where the Badgers would fall.
Pretty high.
I would think so.
You'd have to.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Trending topic number three. What else is going on in the world of Wisconsin athletics right now?
So it's a great weekend here in Madison for home events. The Badgers men's basketball team is going to be on the road playing at Michigan State like we talked about, but there's a lot going on here. Men's hockey team got off to a good start in the second half. They beat a number 8 ranked Ohio State team to split that series last week, and now they come back to the Kohl Center. They're going to take on Michigan State 8:00 Friday, so you can watch the men's basketball game.
Got to get their mojo going.
They need that.
It's a new year. Yeah. Hopefully they've kind of turned the page. That win over Ohio State is maybe they can build on that as a springboard. Good win, 5-2 at home.
And Michigan State, a chance for them to get some much-needed points in the Big Ten standings because they're trailing. So they'll play Michigan State 8:00 Friday, so you can watch the men's basketball game on TV. Then get to the Kohl Center and see the Badgers in person on the ice. Then they're back 7:00 on Saturday. Wrestling, talking about teams that have gotten the new year off to a strong start. The wrestling team had a big win over number 5 Nebraska at the Fieldhouse on Sunday. Now they get the Buckeyes. This is a, I don't know, there's a ton of different wrestling rankings. This is a top five, top 10 matchup, basically, no matter how you look at the rankings.
Wisconsin has a niche wrestling following.
Yeah.
For those who are football, basketball listeners of this podcast, they wrestle at the Fieldhouse. So the Fieldhouse is used for volleyball and wrestling here at Wisconsin. And they draw well. They have exciting, loud events.
They've turned it into a really cool show with the lighting and the music and everything. It's an intimidating environment.
Yeah, and it's cheap entertainment that's very family friendly. And I'm not a wrestling fan, I wouldn't say, but Wisconsin they are events, and it's cool. It's got a niche following that is growing under Coach Bono.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement, and this is a Friday night match, 8 o'clock, same time as the hockey game, so you got to make a choice there. But it's also going to be televised on BTN when they take on Ohio State. Seth Gross, the transfer, he's the number one ranked wrestler, 133 pounds. It'll be a top 10 matchup at 141. Tristan Moran from Wisconsin, who had a big win over Nebraska, he's ranked seventh, and then the top ranked guy at 141, Luke Pletcher from Ohio State. They're going to go head to head, so it should be a really exciting match, whether you're in the Fieldhouse or watching at home on TV. And then the women's hoops team gets to play at home twice. They got Michigan on Thursday at 7, and then on Sunday at 2 o'clock, as part of the National Girls and Women in Sport Day, they'll have a ton of pregame activities. They're actually going to start at noon at the Kohl Center Games, face paint. You get to meet some of the student-athletes from different teams. And the first 1,000 kids that come to the Kohl Center under the age of 12 get a really sweet pair of Bucky Badger slippers. So before they take on the 22nd-ranked Hawkeyes at 2 o'clock, get here early, get your slippers, and then enjoy the game.
People like free stuff. I like free stuff. People like free stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So the Wisconsin marketing staff, Kevin Klunder and his team, have put together some really fun promotions for games. And I'm not just saying this as, oh, I work at the university. I'm saying this as I have two kids.
Yeah, no, this is stuff we need to get for our kids, for sure.
Yeah, who I want to try and get some of this stuff, and I'm going to have to either go to the games or sweet talk somebody here. But so the slippers are one. There's a kid's beach towel or like bath towel that is in the, it's got the hood, and it's Bucky Badger's head that comes over for a hood. There is a fanny pack that's being handed out. There's
a onesie, an adult size onesie for students for men's hockey.
Yeah, that's a hockey. It's a hockey uniform.
Looks like your head to toe dress for hockey. That thing's pretty awesome.
So go to UWBadgers.com and under the fan tab at the top, there's a promotions link that you can click on. You can go there and you can find out all these promotions that come to a Badger game in the next couple months. There's a good chance you're going to get some free stuff when you come.
All right, but before we move on to everything that's coming up, let's just take a moment and relish that win over Maryland. We'll bring in the guy who played the hero's role, junior guard Brad Davison.
So, Brad, we were trying to figure out who to have this week as our guest, and then last night happened. and there was no denying who we needed to talk to the day after the Maryland heroics. Can we just start there? And one, have you come down from the high of that win yet?
Definitely. We got a big game on Friday. We got to lock back in now.
Okay, I haven't. I'm still up there. So take us back to that, and let's start with the bad part. Let's start with we get the ball back with, what, 40 seconds to go maybe?
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember of how that last 40 seconds of the game played out?
Yeah, we got a big stop, forced them into a turnover, and we came down and we had – a play called, and we got Maryland played really good defense that possession. You know, the first option, we were trying to find Colby in the post. I think it was Ayala from Maryland did a really good job of denying him and fronting him. So first option was taken away. And then it was into a ball screen with Nate and I, and they switched that. So they took that away, but they put Cowan on Nate in the post. Then we tried to roll Nate in, and I picked up my dribble to enter to Nate, and Cowan did a really good job of fronting him and denying him. So first three options were taken away. And then it was down to about 6 seconds left, and there I was stuck with the ball in my hands with no dribble, a little bit into panic mode. I got the ball to Tyler, and he got it back to me real quick, and there was about 3 seconds to go, and I had the ball at the logo with big sticks on me from Maryland. Didn't have much of an opportunity. Yeah, it's not good probability there, but fortunately, there's still some more time left.
So then they called timeout.
Yep.
Right? What did Coach say to you after that possession?
Coach wasn't happy. and you know, he had all the right not to be happy there. But you know, we just kind of the message I was telling the guys is, you know, there's still a lot of time left. Believe that we're going to win this game. We can believe that into reality. And, you know, we made the most of the opportunity.
Okay, so then they
so
got
now
a
we can get to
play.
The good part. Now yep. we get to the good part. Yeah, so we had the possession. We had the jump ball arrow. So the goal was, and they were in the bonus. So the goal was to try to either deny the catch or if they get the catch, to try to get a jump ball and wait to foul, try to get a steal. They did a little crisscross action in the press break. So I ended up on Cowan, and I knew that's who they wanted to get the ball to. So tried to bait him a little bit and to give him a little space to try to think that he could get the ball to him. I was able to get a hand on it. And fortunately, Marcel, who threw the ball in, was still standing out of bounds. So I didn't really have a chance to grab it. So that was kind of my last resort. I had to hit the ball off of him.
How do you, in that moment, think to throw the ball off him?
Man, a lot of people have asked me that question since, and I think I've just watched and played a lot of basketball that it was kind of instincts at that point.
Aleem Ford just said 2 minutes ago, he said that he thinks that was the greatest basketball play he's ever seen anybody make.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know if I deserve
the biggest
that much
dog,
credit, but
he said he was shook.
Yeah,
he said on the bench, he's like, I was shook.
He said he woke up this morning still shook. He's like, why'd you do that? How'd you do that? I said, well, I just hit it with my left hand.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm sitting there with the TV broadcasters, and there was this sort of an instant of like, wait, what just happened? Did that really just happen?
It's off him.
Did you kind of come to realization of it?
You play DB in high school? We know that you played football. Okay, we hear this brought up once or twice. Did you play DB also?
Unfortunately, no. For three reasons. First reason, my high school football coach didn't want me to get hurt playing defense because he knew I would just try to hit everybody. My basketball head coach was on the sidelines for every game in my high school football coach's ear, and he didn't want me to get hurt. And to make things even better, my mom was on the sideline videoing, and she didn't want. So if it was up to me, I would have loved to play DB or I would have liked linebacker, but unfortunately never got that opportunity.
Because that play was a DB.
Yeah.
You came around with the frontside hand and knocked that. That was a DB pass breakup. So that
I hope my high school coach, Coach Lombardi, this is for you. I hope you saw that.
You look like Fayon Hicks. I want stop. You said your mom was filming all the games on the sidelines. What does that mean?
Everyone.
What does that mean?
So in high school, every football game and basketball game, my mom would make a highlight tape of every like good play. So in football, every good tackle, every good run or good pass of the whole team.
Not just Brad Davison highlights.
No. Like, in basketball, it was every single bucket that was scored, every charge, every block shot, and put it to music. If you go to YouTube, search Corey Davison, it's a big thing. There's a lot of big things. It's a hit in Maple Grove.
Does she have a – just a hobby, or is she, like, a budding cinematographer?
I think you could call it a hobby. I think my mom's just trying to find things to do, and she found joy from it, and it was an excuse for her to – watch games over and over again. You know, my parents are both really big into basketball, but reflecting on it, I mean, I still go back and watch them.
So she's
same with my high school teammates.
She shot from the sidelines, so she was getting like reaction and
because she would be like next to our high school football coach.
Because when you think of high school football tape, you think of like mom or dad up at the top with a tripod on the bleachers.
Yeah.
You know, and this like
you're she not, had the field like, pass crazy. And everything. No, she ran it.
I love my mom. I would not have wanted my mom on the sidelines when I was playing sports. It would not have gone well. Would that be weird for you?
We had a few interactions. It was mainly when I would get dinged up or hurt, and she would just kind of stare at me until I acknowledged her and told her I was fine. And she knew I was going to be fine and that I wasn't going to come out of the game.
Mom,
let me go. But she loved it. And she still secretly admits loving football now and like watching me play football. And now she gets to watch my brother-in-law play and she secretly enjoys it. She always put on a stubborn face and was like, nah, but deep down she loves it.
Is she nervous at watching basketball games? Like, does she need like not look sometimes or go pace?
Oh, for sure. Like during free throws, I bet she does. And she's a coach. Both my parents are coaches. So they're very different styles coaches, but my mom would be more like covering her mouth, looking at the game. My dad would just be smiling, watching, and clapping. Different styles, but you know, they're big, big basketball minds.
Let's go back to right after the deflection, the out of bounds. So now there's 10 point something left on the clock, 12 seconds, whatever it is. draw up the out of bounds play, take us into that huddle. Keep it walking through. I want to keep living this.
Yeah. So we got into the huddle, and there was about 30 seconds where the coaches were kind of talking to each other, and then the players were talking to each other. The message I had for the guys is, like, no matter who's taking the shot, no matter what play is drawn up, like, believe it's going in. Like, we can believe this into reality. We can do this. And then coach came in, drew up a play that we've ran a few times this year and had some success with. And the first option was, if I come off those two screens and have some daylight, let it go. And if it wasn't there, then we're going to bring it out and we're going to kind of iso Kobe on the other side, because we're in the bonus. So try to get downhill, only down one. I think it was Brevin. Brevin set a good screen. Nate got a little bit on him. I had daylight. And the cool thing about that shot, I was telling the managers came up to me after the game and said, that's your game time shot. And I was like, yeah. So every time I shoot, a lot of people do like five from a spot. They'll do like 10 spots on a 3-point line, five from a
rotate
spot.
Rotate around, yeah.
And I'll go from one corner to the other corner. And so when I get to like the right corner, the left corner, wherever I'm finishing, like make one, make two, make three, make four. And the fifth one, it's game time and you have to catch it fading, falling out of bounds to the corner. And so this is a shot that I've taken thousands of times because I've done it since I was a freshman in high school, every time I'm in the gym shooting. So for me, it was like a really cool full circle hard work payoff moment that a lot of people probably don't realize, but they just see that kind of the finished product, but like that's really cool.
That's really funny. Watching the highlight back, I had that thought in my head, like, this is the thousands of shots in a gym. Like, this is where that comes to fruition, is when you get a chance to hit a shot like that in a game.
100%.
And you don't even think. It's just instinct. It's
instinct.
Rote motion.
Yeah, you're just playing at that point.
Was that a comfortable spot for you? Because we had Brevin on last week talking about, like, those late game situations, and he's like, just give me the ball. Like, yeah, wherever on the floor, just give me
like
the ball.
Does he like to go right or come up the left? Setting up, what game was that? Setting up the shot at Ohio State.
Okay, yeah.
Where he hit a big pop.
Yeah, he said, either side, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, is there a comfort zone for you?
No. I would agree with Brevin. You know, I think once you get into the game, you're in the game. You're in the zone. It doesn't really matter how you're getting the ball or where you're getting the ball. It kind of just matters the end result, putting the ball at the bottom of the net.
You just don't want to give away secrets.
Yeah. Still got a lot of games to play here. Can't
he
give
said
up
he likes
many.
To go left and get his shot off. He said right-handed shooters prefer to get their shot coming off to the left, he said, by and large. Do you think that?
I think it's more natural.
More lesser to come from the left-hand side and switch?
I definitely think it's more natural. Like, if I go left, I like to step back left because then it gets into my natural feet position. Yeah. My feet are always naturally a little to the left. And so that's why I like going left a little more. But, you know, that one was to the right. So
it worked.
So you hit the shot and the game's not over.
Not quite.
Then, so there was another timeout. You guys re-huddled again.
Yeah, I think they were checking to see if it was two or three. Yeah,
okay, that's right. They were reviewing. And so then what are you drawing? Cowan's getting the shot off.
Yep, 9 seconds to go. We know Cowan's getting the shot. We were thinking either they're going to do a ball screen or a slip screen to try to get Sticks or Wiggins slipping into a three-point shot and try to just create a miscommunication. So we're going to switch all the ball screens. We call it bango. We're giving up all our secrets here. And just trying to force a tough contested shot. We didn't want to foul. We were only up by two, so we didn't want to send him to the line. And then we wanted to make sure we got the defensive rebound. So when I saw Callen's shot go up and it came off, I held my breath because Ayala in the corner was the person I was supposed to be boxing out, but I started ball watching a little bit. So I'll probably see that in film later today. But fortunately, the kind of last desperation shot came up short, and then got to embrace with Kobe, and then got to do a little jumping up and down with the rest of the team after that. It was fun.
So clearly some things have gone your guys' way. You've made some key shots at the end of games. 1-6-7 now. Why, in your estimation? Why are you guys so hot right now?
The team's starting to come together 100%. You know, I think the connectedness of the team on both sides of the floor, I think that stems from the communication. Both sides of the floor started talking a lot more, whether it's something that hasn't been working, coming together right away and trying to figure out, okay, holding each other accountable, that can't happen again. Or if things are going well, holding each other accountable to not getting too high or being satisfied. That's been a message that coach has been relaying to us. And then, you know, myself as being one of the captains, like the floor leader, relaying to our teammates and trying to hold each other accountable for.
I've contended that it has taken time for you guys to figure out, role is cliche, but playing without Ethan. So your first 2 years here, we were clearly offensively Ethan Happ centric mm-hmm. in terms of, and rightfully so, magnificent player, won a lot of games doing that. But now everybody's role has changed.
100%.
From what you've known the last two seasons. So my contention is that the November pains were people trying to figure that out. And some of it was that you didn't shoot straight for a while.
Yeah. But putting the ball in the hoop helps winning games too.
But are you seeing it the similar way that you're starting to figure that out and Nate is figuring it out and Tyler is? And
definitely. You know, I think not only not playing with Ethan on the floor, but also playing just with us on the floor, this new group.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously a new offensive style. You know, when you have two bigs and two four-men who can all shoot the three, you know, it's a much more spread out. There's a lot more opportunities for people to take advantage of. But I think it takes time to get comfortable taking advantage of those opportunities and being able to, you know, not only take advantage of them, but, you know, see when they're available. And so that takes time. You know, that's why there's 30 games in a regular season. That's why there's a non-conference slate.
Yeah.
Is to continue to build, continue to get better. And, you know, it's really easy to get caught up in the roller coaster ride of the highs and lows. I like to call them the hills and valleys of the season. But, you know, one thing that I'm a big believer in is that, you know, losses can either bring you apart as a team or it can really bring you together and you can learn from them. And I think we've done a great job of learning from some of those lessons, the November pains, as you can say. And also, you know, adding Micah to the team has been a huge boost for us in a lot of ways. You know, offensively, he's obviously shot the ball really well, but defensively on the rebounding, his vocal leadership, the way he communicates on the floor, it gives us a whole new dynamic and makes us a lot more versatile, makes it so Nate doesn't have to play 30, 35 minutes. So being fresh on the floor is huge. So that's really going to benefit Nate and Micah moving forward. So there's been a lot of different things that has just kind of forced this team to come together more and more and enabled us to kind of go on this run.
What about personally for you? How do you view the evolution of your role on this team?
Yeah, you know, my role has changed a lot since freshman year in all different shapes and sizes, and I really enjoyed it. It's been a roller coaster ride at times, but I'm extremely thankful for it. You know, freshman year, we were kind of banged up, so I had the ball in my hands a lot and was asked to do a lot of creating. And then last year, was more of kind of just a catch-and-shoot role playing around Ethan, and now it's kind of a mismatch of that and more of a defensive-minded role and leadership role. And so I've been trying to get, you know, my feet wet, to say, in that role as well and trying to figure out what that looks like.
Freshman year, we were kind of banged up, he says.
Kind of.
The guy who separated right. his shoulder nine times during games.
But I was still able to play, so I'm still thankful for that.
The Brad Davison legend grew exponentially the night we played Michigan State and your shoulder popped out and you came back in, had 30 points. Like, we lost a game, which maybe kind of overshadows what your personal performance was in that game. But that was the game where people were like, dude, this guy is different. Does that game stand out to you, or I don't know, it was a game we lost it, so I don't.
I mean, it stands out to me just because Michigan State, them winning that game, won the Big Ten for them. It was a big game. It was our last home game. It was senior night. And I always have a special place in my heart for senior night because you want to send your seniors out the right way. And, you know, we had Aaron Mache, Matt Ferris, TJ Schlunt, guys that I'm still really close with, FaceTime with Mache all the time. And even though they weren't necessarily on the floor a whole lot, their impact on our team and the program was huge. And anyone who's around the program knows that. So that's why it has a special place in my – those senior nights is you want to send them out right, and we had such a good chance, and we were really rolling. I think we won 7 of our last 10. We were kind of setting good vibes moving into the Big Ten tournament. So I'll always remember that game.
So we go to Michigan State next.
Oh, yeah.
Two days from now, we're recording this on Wednesday morning. You've played there once. You didn't play there as a sophomore. Wisconsin didn't go there, so you played there as a freshman. What do you remember about playing in the Breslin Center?
I remember it was really competitive. They came out early and jumped on us, but the second half, we came out and threw the first couple punches, got it close. I think we ended up losing by 10 or so. They're really good that year. I remember it was loud. Remember my parents weren't there. It's the one arena, one of the arenas they haven't been to yet, so they're excited to be there. I also know Wisconsin hasn't won there in a while, so it's definitely something that we're looking forward to getting out there and competing at.
Where do you, on the road, where do you like to play? Where's a place you look forward to going?
Well, I'm from Minnesota, So you always look forward to going to the barn.
Yeah.
So that was
thought that might be
that was a good experience last year.
Even if you weren't
from
there, though, I think you'd like playing there. It's a cool. It's a cool environment.
It is. It's got
cool
vibes around. Yeah. Kind of the historic vibe.
The raised floor. And all that.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota. I only have one experience at Mackey Arena too, and we went in there and Purdue was ranked number one, and they just got us. We ended up beating them later in the year, which was great on Frank Kaminsky night. Frank night. But Mackey Arena.
So we go there a week
for
Friday.
We go there in a week for Friday. But I don't know if it was the arena or just the team or the combination of it, but they just got us. It was just their day and not ours. So I don't know if I enjoy going there, but it's somewhere I'm looking forward to going to kind of change that narrative. Yeah.
Do you like going on the road?
I love it.
Do you like being, don't take this the wrong way, do you like being a villain?
I don't like being a villain. 100% I don't. I won't lie and say I do.
Yeah. But do you like being an antagonist, maybe? Or like being the...
I like competing, and everyone can call it something, whatever they want. You know, kind of started be just getting booed wherever I go, which is unique. And something that's unique. I wouldn't say it's bad. I wouldn't say it's good. It's something that I've had to learn to deal with, and something that I've dealt with even in high school. I had it to a certain degree, but at the end of the day, I know that I'm not playing for the approval of other fan bases or even of our fan bases. Yeah. Like, I'm playing for my teammates, my coaches, and for me, faith is really big in my life, so I'm playing for the approval of Christ. And so I block it out, and I just go out there and compete and try to win.
That's what I was going to say. That idea of being a villain probably means you're doing something well for your own team.
Oh, like that's
a compliment. You are a key factor in what's happening here.
Oh, when you are if people are paying attention to you, that's a compliment.
It's a form of respect.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we've talked about your parents traveling, that they're going, so they're going to be at the Breslin Center on Friday?
Oh, yeah. Their flight leaves at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
And they were at the Kohl Center last night.
Yep.
And drove home after the game. They're super fans. They're dedicated.
And they were at Penn State the week before and drove from Penn State to Baltimore to get to the divisional game to watch my brother-in-law play. Flew back, drove here. They're troopers.
That was a tough weekend for you sporting-wise, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want to go.
Let's stick to basketball talk. Just kidding.
Brett Davison, Vikings fan. Yeah. And Raven, so tell
proud
us about,
Vikings fan.
Tell
proud
us about LJ. Like, I think a lot of people may not realize that your sister married an NFL football player. Well, mm-hmm. She didn't marry an NFL football player. She married a college friend.
Yep.
Who became an NFL player.
Mm-hmm. So they met at the University of Northern Iowa. Both my sisters
great
played basketball.
School.
Cedar
great,
Falls.
Great school.
Go Panthers. I'm here for it. Yep. And so he was an unrestricted or was a free agent out of college, played for the Browns for a couple of years, went for the Steelers for a couple of years, was on the Eagles at the start of this season, kind of jumped around. This is his eighth season in the league, and now ended up on Baltimore this year. At the halfway mark, had a really good season. Really, really played well, got a lot of opportunities, took advantage of him. We have so much fun following him. And not only is he a great football player, but just a great man of faith and a good, a really good role model for me to look up to.
What's your relationship with him as both high-profile athletes in different venues? Do you guys talk about, do you talk shop? Do you talk about that kind of stuff? Dealing with expectations or
not a whole lot.
Setbacks.
You know, I think when I was in high school, we spent a lot of time. We would read devotionals together and read scripture together, and we would it would be more faith based conversation. And now it's more just encouragement, good luck, good game, good job, good work, do work, stuff like that. Kind of just short and to the point. But you know, he's someone that I know that I can always go to for anything. If there's anything I'm struggling with, him and my sisters. My sisters are my two best friends. And I talk to them about any and everything. So extremely blessed to have, that community and the fellowship of the people around me.
So your sisters both played basketball at UNI.
Hoopers.
Do you talk ball with them, since they've been through it, they kind of get it and they just play the supportive family role?
I'm going to be honest. I don't talk to my sisters as much about basketball anymore. It's more about life. More about, the highs and lows of life, relationships, friendships, school. The cool thing I know about my sisters is their love is unconditional. It has nothing to do with basketball, nothing to do with performance. I think there's a lot of times we can get caught up in, conditional love sometimes. And so we don't really talk about it a whole lot. They'll text me and say, good luck. good game.
They're not critical.
They're not.
That's Corey's role.
Yeah, every once in a while.
His mom.
But like an example is I had to FaceTime my sister today for about 30 minutes. And you'd think it would be about basketball because of what happened last night. And we talked about that for about 1 minute of the 30 minutes. And we talked about, you know, her baby, Brett, LJ, her, my parents. Like, we talked about everything else. There's a lot of people out there that want to talk about basketball. And I think my sisters kind of, they realize that. I talk about that a lot. And they just want to make sure that I know that they're just here for me.
So tomorrow night we go to East Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
No foam Thursday. That's awesome. Got to be here to stay, right? I mean,
foam bucket. Teams, I think every team. We should 3-0 do it everywhere. Doing it. We should do it everywhere.
Yeah, you subscribe to it.
Yeah.
What does it do for the team? Why do you think? Yeah, we should do it. Every team should do it.
Well, it just makes you communicate and it makes you connect. And I'm going to sound like a coach here. I'm going to sound like Coach Gard and Coach Crabb.
You're going to be a coach someday.
Wait, was this your idea? I'm suddenly wondering who came up with this idea.
No, well, I might have planted a seed. But the way Coach Crabb would say it is, he goes, we didn't have these, or maybe he might have, but they're like, we don't have these
back in my day.
We actually had to talk to each other. And the thing is we would talk to each other, but then we would, I don't know, go on Snapchat or show someone a video. But now it's just, the personalities come out. And the funny thing is, like, the type of conversations we have are from, like, one end of the spectrum to the complete opposite. You never really know what's coming. And so it keeps you on your toes. And so we're always say, like, coaches, you can't get mad at what we're talking about because you took our phones away. Like, this is what you asked for. Like, you wanted us to communicate, and now you're – but it's fun. We have a lot of fun together.
Have fun this weekend. Keep it rolling.
Yes, sir.
Let's stem that streak at Breslin Center. You should be a career goal win in every building, right? I think a lot of athletes talk about that. They want to win
100%
every building.
In every
conference.
Building, you got to beat every team in the conference. And I haven't beat Michigan State yet either.
All right, we'll check that off your list.
Yes, sir. Let's get it done.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brad.
You guys.
Thanks, Brad.
I've been saying it since he got here. Brad Davison is too good to be true. He's a great conversation. He's a great basketball player, a great person. He's a great representative ambassador for Wisconsin sports. I love talking to him. Let's move on to talking to our listeners, which I also love doing. We asked you guys last week, we talked about it, about what would your wish be for Badger sports in 2020? Brian and I gave ours. If you haven't listened, go back and listen to last week's. We gave our wishes for Badger sports in 2020.
And again, this goes beyond the obvious. We all want to win the Big Ten and win national championships. This is
right.
Drilling down a little bit.
So we threw it out on our Twitter handle, which is @BehindBadgers. And we got some fun responses that I liked. Let me read a few of our listeners' wishes for 2020. From @TJHeft14, big friend of the pod. He says, one, he wants Brevin Pritzel to lead the Big Ten in three-point percentage again and NCAA tournament wins for men's basketball. I can get with those. Number two, 12, this is really specific, 12-plus sacks from the outside linebacker group with Jalen Franklin potentially leading the way.
Okay.
This guy does his homework. And a healthy tight end room for Badger football.
That would be a good wish to see come true, for sure.
And his third one, @BadgerVolleyball wins a national championship.
We can all get behind that.
Absolutely. Another one from @Badger_Nick, that men's hockey goes on a run here and wins the Big Ten tournament in order to receive the auto bid to the NCAA tournament. So rally the ship and turn them around. Another one from @Divot516. He wants football to beat Notre Dame and Michigan this coming season. Do it convincingly. I can get behind those. That game against Notre Dame in Lambeau Field will be iconic.
It's gonna be great.
Can't wait for that one. And then the last one. Made me laugh. From @Danny3Heft. Beat Illinois. Also have Walt McGrory on the pod. So we have control over one of those.
We can handle one of those. Yeah.
But yes, Wisconsin has a score to settle now with Illinois since they beat us in football and basketball this season. So next, the next thing we want to ask and solicit feedback on, we asked Brad Davison about arenas that he likes to play in the Big Ten. He said he loves Breslin Center and Mackey were two that stand out in his mind, and that's pretty common response for Big Ten. So get me thinking, okay, Brian, you've been to some of the Big Ten venues. not all of them. What's on your bucket list of one that you maybe haven't been to that you'd really like to see a game in?
I would say because of history and that it's sort of a unique place would be Assembly Hall in Bloomington. I think it's just different. It's different than anything else that's out there. It's got a storied tradition. It's people talk about how when things are good there, how loud it is.
And when things are bad there, it's loud.
Yeah.
I've seen that, even when they're not a good team.
You know, I've seen the pictures from the people take from the top row way at the very back. Like, it's like steep. It could be a scary place to sit. So that's a place I'd like to go see.
Yeah, that's a good one. Wisconsin's had pretty good recent success there, too. So if you're going to go see the Badgers play there, you might see a win. Luckily, I've been to all the Big Ten venues. So I want to do this from a Big Ten non-Big Ten bucket list. If we're just talking bucket list, Big Ten ones, I love going to the Barn in Minnesota. Mackey is a great place for college basketball, and it's loud. It gives you a headache, so it's great home court advantage. Those are two that stand out to me. But I've never been to Krzyzewskiville and where Duke plays. It's a bucket list for everybody, right? If you're a college basketball fan, so the Badgers played there. Forgettably in the 2007-2008 season and lost, and they haven't played there since, so haven't seen that one. I have seen Allen Fieldhouse in Kansas. It's another legendary one. I've seen it. I haven't seen the Badgers play there, but I've been there. Another one, Pauley Pavilion in UCLA, just because of the history, would be one that I would want to see that one.
One other one that I think maybe doesn't come to mind is like a historic great place, but I was actually talking to Dave Fleming that called the game for ESPN. The Maryland game for ESPN last night. I was doing stats for those guys courtside and was talking about some of his assignments. And he said some of his favorite games are when he's on he's got the West Coast Conference duty.
Oh,
and he said the kennel at Gonzaga is right at the top. He said it's the atmosphere is unbelievable. And the decibels you get in there, he said it's a really cool place and it should be on your basketball bucket list.
Yeah. So you think of the iconic ones and the powerhouse programs, but that one are like the Palestra in Philadelphia is one that
had the chance to go there for a practice.
Yep.
A few years ago. And that was, you could feel the history when you walked into that place.
Hinkle Fieldhouse where Butler plays in Indianapolis. That's one. So not always the total obvious ones of the major blue bloods. So we want to ask you guys, what would be on your bucket list of Big Ten arenas that you want to see and why? So we're going to throw it out there on Twitter. Again, the handle is @BehindBadgers. We want to hear from you. We're going to give us, again, where it is and why it is, and we'll read some of the best answers next week on the podcast. And we'll talk to you then.
Unless we get fired.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Badgers. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your preferred podcast platform. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.